The work of this church in the world is realized through the generous financial support of all who call this place home. Along with the gifts and time and talent, ours is a shared ministry. You have a role to play here. Church membership is open to all. For more information, go to uusf.org.
How many folks here have read Braiding Sweet Grass by Robin Wall Kimmerer? Those of you who haven't, you have a treat in store. I just found out from my nephew that the class after him was asked to read it as the book that they read before they came to college this last year. Braiding Sweet Grass, whose subtitle is Indigenous Wisdom, Scientific Knowledge, and the Teachings of Plants, is written by Robin Wall Kimmerer, who is a scientist, a professor, and a member of Citizen Potawatomi Nation. She weaves, if you haven't already been exposed to her writing and speaking, she weaves her scientific insights into the insights of Indigenous worldviews, that of her own community and others. And throughout her writing and teaching, she models this practice of deep presence and attention to the natural world as a means through which wisdom is conveyed and relationships reveal themselves. Kimmerer's own ancestors were removed three times in the span of a single generation from the land that they knew as their own, first from Wisconsin to Kansas, onward through lands in between, and then finally to Oklahoma. Each time to relearn the land, the species, the cycles of harvest, and the nuances of each new landscape. And each time, despite being uprooted, they rebuilt a relationship to their new home, a relationship that embodied reciprocity and reverence. For Kimmerer and most of her Native and Indigenous siblings, that relationship means being invited by the land to understand our place in a web of undeniable interconnection and interdependence. The more I study the plants, Kimmerer writes, Kimmerer, who is an expert in mosses, the more I study the plants, the more I realize they do not live in isolation. Every plant, every tree, every leaf is part of an intricate web of relationships. To be present in nature is to understand that we are not separate from it, but woven into it. Zimmerer lives this reality even at her own home, knowing in the nearby fields where the harvest of wild berries or wild leeks can take place, seeking and planting the medicinal plants where they will thrive. There's one grove near her house that's host to a wild array of necessary species of medicinal herbs that she goes a few times a year to gather from. She arrives one spring to find her neighbor has cleared the land of the trees, sold them to be cut down. This neighbor who buys his medicine at the pharmacy has left all that grew in this place to burn in summer's heat. Zimmerer weeps and pounds the ground. The idea that Earth's treasures are resources to be mined for profit is foreign to Kimmerer and so many of her Native siblings. Her worldview comes from stories and presence to the real-time recurring cycles of giving, of attention, of gratitude, and of care. That sense of her story as part of the larger story of life is grounded in the story of Sky Woman, a I don't know how many of you know that origin story of life as we know it on Earth. Sky Woman, the original woman who falls through space to be caught on the wings of a bird, set on the back of a turtle, mud from deep in the primordial waters sought, each animal diving, holding its breath as long as it can, none able to succeed until the most likely of all does so, sputtering to the surface with a fistful of mud that it spreads at turtle's acquiescence on turtle's back. Mud, the story has, that's danced by Sky Woman in a dance of gratitude for all who've helped her find a home, danced into the earth. And into that earth, the woman spreads what she has grasped in her fall, ripped from the tree of life as she fell past it, a fistful of seeds and berries, and earth comes alive, and the animals that caught her are also now taken better care of in a cycle of gifts given and received and given and received, and the birds and the animals, everything joins her on Turtle Island where they too thrive. And here they continue. The story has it in cycles of mutual care that is their foundational story and the ongoing pattern of relationships they enter into naturally. To be human in relationship to nature, then, is about this reciprocity, about things like what Kimmerer calls the honorable harvest. Taking only what you need, grounded in your own robust and joyful sense of enough. Kimmerer's own community has a teaching, the teaching of one bowl, one spoon, to help them remember some of this worldview, this idea that all of life is held in one common bowl and all have to be fed by one spoon. At community gatherings, they literally pass around a bowl of berries, for instance, around the circle of people to remind folks as they each take their share of the fruit, taking only what they need so that all have some, and being reminded that the berries themselves ask in return for their sacrifice and gift to their human brethren, that in exchange that humans spread the seeds so berries too can flourish, a loop of gifts received and expanded and given and received. And it's all grounded in gratitude, like earth that is danced into being from Sky Woman's gratitude for what plants and water and birds and animals had given her. The Haudenosaunee, as we shared today in the time of meditation and prayer, and as I told you then, begin their community gatherings and actually even the school days in their schools on their sovereign lands with the Thanksgiving address, the same one that Kimmerer teaches about in that class on the culture of gratitude to students who learn just what cultures founded in gratitude make foundational rituals and teachings so that they can live a culture of gratitude. Today we have gathered, and when we look upon the faces around us, we see that the cycle of life has continued. We have been given the duty to live in balance and harmony with each other and all living things. So now let us bring our minds together as we give greeting and thanks to each other as people. Now our minds are one. And so begins the prayer that is over 800 words long. The one we said for Mother Earth and the waters of the world and the fish in the water and the plant life and the medicine life and those who know how to use the medicine and the trees giving shade and sugar and animal life and birds from smallest to largest and the four winds that refresh and bring the seasons. And some add also to the thunder beings and elder brother the sun and oldest grandmother the moon and stars like jewelry in the skies and teachers through ages and great spirit creator. Everything we need to live a good life is here on Mother Earth. The whole of this Thanksgiving address, Zimmerer writes, is so much that's set into words. They are, she writes, quote, a bill of responsibilities, an educational model, a family tree, a scientific inventory, a social contract, a way of being. But first and foremost, the credo for a culture of gratitude. Sometimes, Zimmer says, a student will say, it's lovely, but way too long. I'm sorry that you have so much to give thanks for, she will think to herself. Knowing that saying the fullness of it all is not just a ritual practice, but also can be medicine. By contrast, the Algonquin-speaking cultures talk of the monster Wendigo. Has anyone heard of Wendigo? I see some hands. Wendigo is a creature that embodies insatiable yearnings and greed. Wendigo, that also stands for the consequences of excessive consumption and disconnection from the natural world, which are interrelated. Wendigo that destroys the human soul. I love the holidays that are coming up. I loved gift giving. It is one of my love languages. But I have to say, I'm also sitting, having read about Wendigo, about whether Wendigo is actually the mascot of Black Friday sales and gift exchanges that end up in landfill. And let me say, I just cleaned my daughter's room while she was away, and I found so many stocking stuffers from last year completely unopened. That between you and me, she's gonna get a few of them again in next year's stocking. And it's so lovely to live generously. That's such a value of mine, to live generously and make generosity manifest in our relationships. But I'm also thinking about the costs of my sense of what that pattern of generosity looks like when it's lived out and what I can do to turn it. After all these generations since Columbus, Kimmerer writes, some of the wisest native elders still puzzle over the people who came to our shores. They look at the toll of the land and say, the problem with these new people is they still don't have both feet on the shore. One is still on the boat. They don't seem to know whether they're staying or not. Kimmerer writes, it's the same observation that's heard from some contemporary scholars who see in the social pathologies and relentlessly materialistic culture here the fruit of homelessness, that is to say, of a rootless past. How, she asks, can Americans, as a nation of immigrants, learn to live as if we are staying with both feet on the shore. How, she asks, can we become indigenous? Isn't that a beautiful set of framing questions to sit with, not just now, but for a long time? This project of how we live more and more like we're rooted here, and what that looks like, how we're already doing it, and how we deepen those indigenous practices, you might call them. I had a teacher, Inez Talamantes, an Apache elder, who said at the end of a course where we studied the religious traditions of the Southwest, she said, if you love what I am teaching, if you find something in this that's beautiful that you want for yourself, go back to your own tradition and find something there that teaches the same thing and resuscitate that. Find it in your own history and traditions. What would those be for us? What are those for us, from all our different backgrounds? The day Kimmerer gave the lecture at the school on the culture of gratitude, the one that had the reception afterwards that was groaning from enough food to fill multiple villages, the one with the waste bins at the end that all the excess was swept into, she met one person who knew some of what from her own culture called her to the same way of being. That day, Zimmerer wrote, a beautiful young girl, dark hair tied in a headscarf, was waiting her turn. When nearly everyone had left, she approached me, gesturing with an apologetic smile at the wasted remains of the reception. I don't want you to think no one understands what you're saying, she said. I do. You sound like my grandmother back in my village in Turkey. I will tell her that she must have a sister here in the United States. In her house, we learned that everything we put in our mouths, everything that allows us to live, is the gift of another life. I remember lying with her at night as she made us thank the rafters of her house. Look at the rafters of our house, gorgeous redwood rafters. And the wool blankets that we slept in. In my grandmother's house, we were taught to kiss the rice. If a single grain fell to the ground, we learned to pick it up and kiss it, to show we meant no disrespect in wasting it. Where and how do we do the work to reground ourselves in what stories, in what practices, in what teachings that maybe already anchor us in reciprocity and in interdependence? How do we stay grounded in enoughness in a world that's constantly telling us and inviting us to see what we don't have and to see what we do have as not enough? How do we give thanks for moon and stars like jewelry in the sky and water and wind and plant medicine and grain and berries and trees for shade? Realize that we already have so much and the rest is superfluous. How do we stay grounded there and keep Windigo and his evils or her evils at bay in our hearts, from our world and the one we make? In a world bent on having us see ourselves as Black Friday consumers and agents of production, what are the practices that ground us in our identity as people in relationship of giving and receiving, people in relationships of deep attention and reciprocity and care for all life? How do you and I, as Robin Kimmerer and Indigenous folks ask, live with both feet planted here, on this Turtle Island, danced into being by gratitude, by a woman who dropped from the sky with nothing that she, except what she clutched in her hand and what those around her gave her without question, out of relationships of care they knew to be the right ones, so that she could live too. The ultimate immigrant. How do we live like that? And only like that? Each of us comes, writes Robin Wall Kimmerer, from people who were once indigenous. We can reclaim our membership in the cultures of gratitude that formed our old relationships with living earth. Gratitude is a powerful antidote. A deep awareness of the gifts of the earth and of each other is medicine. Besides, it makes us happy. May we each find and claim, deepen and share our stories and practices of regenerative reciprocity. Share the ways we have found to live with both feet planted where we are, engaged only in the honorable harvests, and stay grounded in gratitude, committed to dancing a fuller life into being for all life that is interconnected in this web that is made strong when it is more fully whole and deeply, abundantly, and joyfully connected and alive. May we be so. May we make it so. May our minds, now and forever in these ways, be as one. Amen.
We are proud to offer deep gratitude to the tribal band of Ramaytush Ohlone's peoples and their lands that cover Northern California and stretch down the Pacific coastline. That is a land acknowledgement begun before a production at the American Conservatory Theater here in San Francisco. On another occasion, I ride with a guide at Pepperwood Preserve in Santa Rosa. Our host tells me how indigenous practices have been reintroduced to preserve and further align Pepperwood's mission, which is advancing science-based conservation of ecosystems throughout Northern California. Land acknowledgments, recognizing the historic presence of Native peoples and indigenous practices, have been seeping into my awareness. A statement here at the start of a theater production, a visit there to a nature preserve, a story on PBS about the late great American hockey player Henry Boucher. Well, it's Thanksgiving, and it dawns on me the entire packaging of American Thanksgiving celebrates the coming together of indigenous peoples and European colonists around foods native to the region. The region, in my memory, is New England. I remember in my social studies textbooks and their depictions of the first Thanksgiving, European women in long dresses with aprons, European men in period costumes with odd-shaped guns pointing to the sky. Native peoples, generally men in traditional attire, bringing provisions to picnic tables set up in the midst of a small village, knowing warm smiles all around as the food was placed on the tables. The moment was always depicted in color in my textbooks, and as one of peaceful coexistence. And maybe for a moment it was. But I've come to learn that, like most things in life, it was a bit more complicated than that. The treatment of North American indigenous people by colonizers, taken in total, was beyond abysmal. I've come to understand that they occupied these lands for millennia, living out their lives generation after generation, the land and their practices woven into what they were and how they lived. And almost unseen, but in plain sight, their presence echoes in my world. Words like Malibu, derived from the Venturino Chumash word meaning the surf sounds loudly. Seattle, named after Chief Siach of the Duwamish and Susquamish tribes. And Sonoma, from coastal Miwok language meaning Valley of the Moon. However, the unspeakable horrors, like the state of California paying out millions of dollars in bounties for Native persons killed, those horrors were never mentioned in my social studies books. Of one thing I'm sure, as a good friend shared, the scales of justice are nailed to the floor concerning the unforgivable evil meted out against Native peoples. It's hard to know what to think, what my response should be now that my eyes have been opened to these truths. Human history is filled with sad contradictions and complexities, but maybe nature offers me a way forward, a model of unadorned existence inviting me to simply learn and adapt. Nature is not so complicated in this way. It exists to be learned from, experienced, and woe to us if we ignore it. I tend to do that in my daily life, surrounded by climate-controlled environments, artificially maintained and delivered foods, medicines, and entertainment. But nature will not be ignored. I'm seeing signs of that everywhere, and they're not pretty. Drought, fires, floods, and storms are all telling me that nature and my place in it can't be ignored. Nature is just there, thank you very much. It doesn't need my help, maybe to protect it, to acknowledge it, and move with it rather than against it, but it doesn't need my help. I need its help. I'm feeling these next few years are going to be tough for our nation, for people like me, and for expanding awareness of and participation in conversations like this one. So many, it seems, are not willing to and indeed do not want to enter into these conversations. Of course, that's my assumption. It's been good to learn that these conversations were happening already without me, and that I could coast a little and catch up sometime later. Well, later is now. I wonder what my part in helping to heal the gaping wounds I see around me will be. How can I be in conversation with folks who seemingly believe in enforced ignorance? It's tough, but maybe nature holds some answers. And on this day, in this quiet, sacred space, I remind myself again that I am a part of nature. I have a role to play that begins with awareness, acknowledgement, and respect for the lessons of the past. All of the lessons, paired with openness and willingness to learn new ones. I am living on land, unceded, that has been occupied for centuries by people who lived with nature. How did they navigate their challenges? What do they know that I do not? I need to listen deeply.